I did not want to make another video so quickly after the last, but unfortunately I'm seeing some misunderstanding of price theory, not least of all from Lord Keynes to himself. As you can see here, Lord Keynes thinks that according to standard price theory, Coca-Cola should have dropped their prices in 1931. In fact, as we saw, Coca-Cola stuck to 5 cents at a time of deflation, which means in real terms they actually increased their price when everyone else was dropping theirs. And as we saw, although they took a hit, they managed to get through 1932 and 1933 relatively unscathed by the standards of the Great Depression. So in hindsight, it looks like a good decision. So what has Lord Keynes gotten wrong? Well, price theory says that prices will rise or fall in a market generally according to supply and demand. Price theory does not say that individual firms will or ought to raise or decrease their prices. In fact, Murray Rothbard makes this explicit when he says that firms don't necessarily run for money profits, but for psychic profits. That is, any given firm on any given day might do something irrational from the point of view of maximizing profits. In his example, giving a job to a ne'er-do-well nephew, or in my own example, attacking most of your own customer base in order to appease one particular political group. We cannot, therefore, predict what any particular firm will do in the market, only what the market as a whole will do. To come back to Coca-Cola, maybe it was the right thing for them to take a 37% hit in 1931 by not adjusting the price, because they were still in profit. But for some other firm in the soda market in the 1930s, dropping the price might have been better. Price theory is not specific advice to specific firms. Economists are not business advisors. They are giving a neutral description of what is happening in the economy as a whole. To understand this better, let's go back to the example I gave in the last video. Remember, we decided we were going to pitch at 2 gold pieces because that's where most of the money is to be made. And in any given market, you'll have market leaders right around that price, marginal firms who are about to go bust, supra marginal firms who are just about turning a profit, and then at a price point above the market leaders, you'll have deluxe firms taking those customers who will pay at higher rates, and at the very top end, firms who cater for those at the top of the preference scale. In virtually any industry you can think of can be broken down in this way. I've done UK supermarkets. You at home can have fun picking your own industry and then working out who are the super marginal firms, who are the market leaders, who are the deluxe and high-end firms. Hours of fun. Now, let's pretend that there's a drop in demand for whatever reason. You can see that every price bracket is hit, apart from the very top 5%, which for whatever reason is unaffected, and the bargain basement price, which is swelled because presumably people have less disposable income in these new conditions. Now, in such conditions, where you can see there's an absolute drop in demand overall, and it's particularly affected our market leaders and our deluxe firms, some of these firms might just go bust. The ones who are just getting by have a decision to make. Do they stick with their current price, or do they try to dip down into the bargain basement, or do they even try to reach up towards the high end? There's no right or wrong answer, as each firm will have to make a call on what's best for them, how to reposition themselves in these new market conditions. Maybe for one of the market leaders, staying right where they are for a couple of years will be just fine, as we saw with Coca-Cola in 1932. However, overall, in these conditions, we'd expect to see decreases in prices as firms have closing down sales or start competing more to get their shrinking piece of the pie. The average price will likely have gone down, even though the average product does not actually exist, because only particular products exist. And of course, we saw this in the 1930s, where there was wide-scale deflation, even though Coca-Cola was an outlier. Price theory can predict what will happen overall, but not what any one firm will do or how any particular product will be priced. As I said earlier, expecting price theory to explain what individual firms will do is like expecting the theory of gravity to explain how many apples will fall from any given tree on any given day. Here is what Ludwig von Mises says in Human Action. A market price is a real historical phenomenon. The quantitative ratio at which at a definite place and at a definite date two individuals exchange definite quantities of two definite goods. It refers to the special conditions of the concrete act of exchange. It is ultimately determined by the value judgments of the individuals involved. It is not derived from the general price structure or from the structure of the prices of a special class of commodities or services. What is called the price structure is an abstract notion derived from a multiplicity of individual concrete prices. The market does not generate prices of land or motor cars in general, nor wage rates in general, but prices for a certain piece of land and for a certain car, and wage rates for a performance of a certain kind. So, on any given day, for any given reason, our man might go for the burger at 3 or for the burger at 2. He doesn't care how much the burger costs to make. All he cares about is his purchase at that particular time. The cost of production, then, is not the thing determining this price ultimately. It is how many people are prepared to pay the 2 or the 3. This much is obvious whenever there is a sale, and the firm either sells for lower than their projected margin, or they even make a loss. Clearly, the thing determining the price is not the production costs, but what customers are prepared to pay. And in these cases, they wanted to pay 50% less than the projected price. This can especially be seen in cases in which there are zero production costs. A pretty good example is undeveloped land, which has no input costs at all, and yet it is bid up or bid down, depending on how many people want it. To reiterate, price theory can only give a very general view of what is happening in the real economy to average prices. It cannot predict how any one firm will react or how any one product will be priced at a given time, because these are specific decisions made by the leaders of those companies. A firm like Coca-Cola can go for high volume, low cost as their pricing strategy. A firm like De Beers can go for low volume, high cost as theirs. As I said, neither Coca-Cola, nor De Beers, nor Lord Keynes too can outrun the laws of economics. Now get out.